Father, we thank you for the entrance of your word into our hearts this morning. We are so glad to come into your house this morning. As Bible says, I was glad when they said unto me, come, let us go to the house of the Lord. We rejoice in the salvation that you have purchased for us. And we are here, O God, to honor you first and foremost, and also to be blessed of you, because you are still the rewarder of those who diligently seek you. Thank you for your presence that makes the difference in all aspects of our lives here today. Thank you that none of us will live here the same way as we have come. We expect your touch upon our lives. We expect your divine intervention in all aspects of our need. We expect that by virtue of your Holy Spirit's presence here this morning, transformation will take place in every one of us. You said, as we behold you as in a mirror, we are changed into the same image as yourself, even from glory to glory by your Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for doing the work necessary in every one of us today to make us more and more Christ-like in all aspects of our lives. We bless you, Lord, for the liberty that you minister to us in this place, that every one of us will go back home perfectly whole as you have ordained for us on every side. Thank you, thank you, thank you. For in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, amen. Praise God. John chapter 1. And let us read together again verse 29. Let's go. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Let's read it one more time. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Once again, the next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Amen. Now let's drop down to verse 35. Verse 35 says, again the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold the Lamb of God. Now notice, John said it today, the following day he said exactly the same thing, telling everybody that came to him that, look to the Lamb, this is the Lamb of God that has come to take away the sins of the whole world. And you know, while John was saying this, everyone was coming to him, looking to him, that's looking to John the Baptist, as probably the one that God had sent to be the Messiah, you see. And when the Pharisees came and they asked him, who are you? He told them, he said, I'm not the one. I'm not the one. I'm not the one. I've told you before, I'm not the one. There's one coming after me that is mightier than me. I'm not even worthy to undo his shoelaces. He is the one that will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. In other words, the one that you all need to look to is the one that I have come to reveal to you. So the job of John the Baptist was to reveal Jesus and who Jesus is unto mankind. Thank God, Jesus is the Lamb that took away the sin of the whole world. It took away the sin of the whole world. And that includes your sin and my sin. Now let us turn to chapter 10 of the same book of John. It is important that we understand clearly that Jesus has done all that is necessary for you and I to walk in liberty, not just occasionally, but at all times and in every situation. So no matter what may come your way or my way, if we will just remember who Jesus is and what Jesus has done for us, we will be able to walk in the kind of faith that is necessary for the Holy Spirit to minister victory to us in that situation. You see, there is no trouble that may come your way or my way that Jesus has not already delivered us from. Someone may say, well, if Jesus has already delivered me from these things, how come I'm still going through them? Well, we have to understand the Bible teaches us we have an adversary called the devil. In fact, let us first of all look at that so that we understand why we are going through troubles today. Why are we going through things that Jesus delivered us from? How come I still feel sick sometimes? How come I still have pain sometimes when Jesus already delivered me from those things? Well, if we don't understand that we have an adversary, we will allow situations to overwhelm us unnecessarily. You see, we have to know clearly that we have an adversary. His name is the devil. He's working against the will of God in your life and in my life. He's trying to hinder us from benefiting from what Jesus did for us over 2,000 years ago. You see, Jesus over 2,000 years ago came to this earth and he fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 53. Bible says he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Now, if Isaiah said so, and Jesus already came to fulfill it, as far as God is concerned, you are healed, I'm healed, no matter the sickness, no matter the disease, we are already healed. Then how come we still have the sickness? Well, let me submit here as we turn to 1 Peter chapter 5 that what we are actually having is not the real sickness itself, it's just the symptom. The devil is a liar. Bible says in Jonah chapter 2 that when we observe lying vanities, we forsake our mercies. You see, the devil is very cunning. He puts pressure on my body to feel pain. And then I feel the pain, and then it begins to work from that feeling of pain to get me to believe that I'm sick. And the hurt that the word of God says about me is not going to work for me. And then it gets me to be afraid of death again, the same thing that Jesus delivered me from. When I begin to think about the sickness, then the devil begins to speak to me in my mind that, well, you know, this sickness is going to kill you. Remember what the GP said. And then if I keep dwelling on what the devil is saying to me in my mind, the sickness will intensify because as a man thinketh in his heart, Bible says he is. You see how the devil walks? He walks through the exterior experiences of life that I go through in order to gain access to my mind and get me thinking against the word of God. If he can just get me to think against the truth, then he will succeed in his plans to afflict me and overwhelm me with the affliction. But if, on the other hand, I know the truth as a Christian, just as Jesus said, the truth will make me free, free from the lies of the devil, and I will be able to say, oh no, devil, oh, you are a liar. I know what Jesus did for me. I know who I am. I look to Jesus and I behold him as the Lamb of God that took away the sin of the world. And in taking away the sin of the world, there is no ground for me to suffer anything under the curse anymore. Therefore, devil, I reject your symptom that you are trying to put upon me, because I'm not the sick. I am the healed. You are trying to put symptoms of sickness on me in order to steal my healing. I resist you in the name of Jesus, and I hold on to the truth concerning Jesus that he already took from me all things under the curse of the law. You see, that's the way to do it. Now in 1 Peter chapter 5, Bible tells us, let's read together. From verse 7 to verse 9, let's go. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Hallelujah. Now, if God tells us that this adversary is walking about seeking whom he may devour. Notice the key word, seeking. He's seeking for. Which means he has no power to just jump on somebody and devour the person. He has to look for an opening. He has to walk his way craftily and cunningly to gain an opening in that person in order to devour them or to rob them or oppress them or steal from them. And the opening the devil is looking for is in the mind, to gain access to the mind and control the thoughts, because he knows that if we can just control our thoughts, he can get our lives to go in the direction that he wants to lead our lives instead of the way God has come to lead us in Christ Jesus. That's why the Bible calls the devil the spirit of Antichrist. He's working against what Jesus has come to do in your life and in my life. And the way he walks, you see, we are not ignorant of the devil's devices, the Bible says. Turn with me quickly to Revelation chapter 12. Once we know how the devil walks, and we know what Jesus has done, we'll be able to resist the devil, just as we read a short while ago in 1 Peter chapter 5, by being steadfast in the faith. We are steadfast in the faith of Jesus Christ, the faith of Jesus Christ. We have to be steadfast in the faith in order to overcome the devil. If we lower our guard, then we are going to give him the upper hand. You see, we have the shield of faith to quench. Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, all the fiery dart of the wicked. But we have to use the shield. If you don't use what you have, then you give the devil the upper hand. He will be able to succeed in devouring you in a sense, because you have given place to him. Don't give place to the devil. Hold up the shield of faith. Get the truth into your inward parts and use the truth to defeat him at all times. Now look at what Bible says of the devil. Revelation chapter 12. This is the way the devil walks. So we don't need anybody to tell us any other thing about him other than the truth that is written in Scripture. The devil is a deceiver. Say to your neighbor, the devil is a deceiver. He deceives the whole world. But he cannot deceive you as a Christian who knows the truth. So you need to walk in the truth at all times, because the truth is what is necessary to defeat the lies of the devil. Amen and amen. Praise God. All right. Revelation chapter 12. Let's just pick the verse that we need right there. For the sake of context, thank you. For the sake of context, let us pick it from verse 7 so that we can get it in the right context and understand that what we are going through right now is a product of what started long time ago in the realm of the spirit in heaven. You see, in most cases, we focus too much on what we see, what we feel in the physical realm. But we have to understand that there is nothing that we see in this physical realm that has no origin in the realm of the spirit. You see, Bible tells us, for instance, that all the creation of God that we see all around us came out of invisible realm. In the account of creation in Hebrews chapter 11, you see, everything that is visible which God created, the things around us on this planet Earth, Bible says they were created from the spirit realm. And now the devil also is spirit. He was in heaven. He was one of the anointed cherub that covered God on the throne. And he became proud and he thought he should be worshipped just as God was being worshipped, instead of him worshipping God and leading worship, which God created him to do because he was the archangel for worship in heaven. He decided that, well, he should be worshipped also just like God was being worshipped, and he brought rebellion against God in heaven, and God kicked him out. And then he came to the earth, Bible says, in fury. And from that time onwards, he's been walking here on earth against the plan and purposes of God. We have to understand that very clearly. And the way he carries out his task is by getting people to be deceived, so that they will believe a lie as the truth. And we all know the account of how he started the process in the Garden of Eden, how he went to Adam and Eve in the garden, and he began to speak to them in a way and manner that opposed the instruction that God gave to them. He began to challenge the truth of God. As God said, thou shalt not eat of any tree of the garden. Well, you know, that particular tree that God said you shouldn't eat from is actually a very good one. God doesn't really like you. You see, that's what he's trying to get man to see. God doesn't really care about you. He's depriving you of partaking of the very best tree in the garden, the one that you really need to make you wise, the one that you really need to make you God. You see, the same nature as himself, he wanted to be God and be worshipped. So he came to man and corrupted man with the same nature and said, well, don't listen to God's instruction. You can be God and be yourself. You don't need to listen to what God says. Just do what you like. And it deceived them into disobeying God. And by the time Adam and Eve knew what had happened, it was too late. They lost the garden. God kicked them out. The glory of God departed from them. Now, from verse 7, Bible says there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found anymore in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. Now please underline the phrase in your Bible, deceived the whole world. So we see how the devil carries out his task here on earth. He is a deceiver. He has to get you to be deceived before he can devour you. That's why Bible says he's seeking whom he may devour. He will bring a lie to you in your thoughts and watch whether you buy into his lies. If you accept his lies, then he sees the opening, then he will come and rob you of something in your life. He may rob you of your joy. He may rob you of your health. He may rob you of your peace. He will steal something from you every time you believe his lies. And that is why we have to know the truth. Now let's go to John chapter 8. So we see the devil is a deceiver. Now, how does he get us deceived? John chapter 8, Jesus himself tells us. Because for somebody to get you deceived, they have to tell you a lie, you see. If they don't tell you a lie, they can't deceive you. They have to tell you a lie and package the lie in a way that it will look like the truth. That's what deception is all about. Deception is a lie that is presented in a disguised manner to make you believe it as the truth. That is why you need the Word of God in order to be able to discern the voice of the devil when he's speaking to you in your mind. Don't lean on your human understanding. That was the mistake Adam and Eve made in the garden. They decided to use their willpower to lean on their own human understanding, and they disobeyed God. They listened to the voice of the devil appealing to their human understanding to reason with their own mind. Forget about what God said. Look at that tree again with another look and see it as a tree that you must actually eat from instead of a tree that you shouldn't eat from. Because when you eat from it, you become wise, you become like God. You don't need God to tell you what to do. You will know what to do for yourself. You just be your own God. And because they reasoned with their human understanding, they believed the lies of the devil. It looked good to them. It will make them wise. And so they went ahead and disobeyed the word of God. If only they had held on to the instruction of God, which was the truth. Don't eat from it, because the day you eat from it, you are going to die. That tree is going to make the glory depart from you, because when you eat from it, you will be disobeying the voice of God, and disobedience is costly. You see, and it is the same mistake many of us are still making today. We are still listening to the voice of the stranger instead of holding on to the word of God. We are leaning on our own human understanding. It doesn't matter how spiritual we become, the devil will still speak to every one of us every day. There will never be a time when you get so spiritual that you don't hear the voice of the stranger. You hear him every day. It's just that you'll be able to discern that that's not the voice of God, and so you won't listen to him and you won't carry out his instruction. That's what makes us victorious as Christians. Not that we don't have temptation, but we don't fall into it, you see. Say to your neighbor, you always have temptation, because the tempter will come to you every day, but you must not fall into his temptation. Amen. How many people remember that Jesus was the most spiritual man that ever walked on this earth? Yet the tempter went to him in the wilderness. Didn't he? He tempted him. So if he tempted Jesus, he will tempt you and I too. He will tempt us with lies. He did exactly what he did to Adam and Eve to Jesus in the wilderness. If you be the Son of God, you see, he always comes with the word Eve to challenge the truth. As God said, that was how he opened the conversation with Eve in the garden. Now it came to Jesus, if you be the Son of God, then turn this stone into bread. Are you not hungry? Use your power and feed yourself. You don't need to think about God. Just be yourself. You are the Son of God. You have power to turn the stone into bread. Use your power and make bread for yourself. Is that not the same thing? See, every time you begin to think thoughts that make you to be self-reliant, you have to caution yourself immediately and say, "Oh, that is the enemy trying to get me to fall." Because every time I rely on myself, I'm going to fall. The whole world is in a fallen state today, because they are self-reliant instead of God-reliant. When you rely on self, you will fall. But when you rely on God, you will never fall. Because God is the only one that can keep us from falling, Bible says in Jude. Unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory. To the only wise God, our Savior. You see the key? If you think you can keep yourself, you are going to fall. But when you rely on God, you will never fall. So he came to Jesus to get Jesus to rely on himself, use his power to satisfy his need, which at that point was hunger. He had fasted 40 days. He was hungry. Now, use your power. Make bread for yourself. But thank God, Jesus knew the truth and said to the devil, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. In other words, I may be hungry, but the most important thing to me is not to satisfy my hunger, but to obey the word of God. You see the key? If every one of us will think about obedience to the word of God in every situation, we will always overcome. And after the third temptation, Bible says the angels of God came and ministered to Jesus. The devil departed from him. You see, temptation will come, but if you stand in the truth, you will overcome the tempter and his temptation. He will have no choice but to leave you. So if it brings sickness against you to try to get you to believe the symptom of the sickness and get you to believe that you are sick as a parrot and the sickness is going to kill you and get you to be afraid of death, the same thing that Jesus delivered you from. Because Bible tells us that through death, it destroyed the devil that had the power of death so that it could set us free from the fear of death that the devil was using to hold all of humanity in bondage. So if you are a Christian, you are delivered already from fear of death. So if you begin to be afraid of death, then something is wrong somewhere. That is the enemy trying to gain access to your mind to get you to believe a lie. You have to cast it down immediately and hold those thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ, Bible says. Now, John chapter 8, look at what Jesus himself said. First, let us look at verses 31 and 32. And I'll encourage you when you get home, please read the whole passage. Because of time, we won't be able to go through all the verses. But at least in the context in which Jesus said it, we'll understand it if we pick these verses that we're about to look at. Verses 31 and 32, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Notice, he's speaking to believers. And that will include you and me today. What he said to the Jews that believed on him in those days is the same thing he's saying to every believer in him today. Whether we are Jews or Gentiles, it doesn't matter now. The same thing Jesus is saying to us. If you are a believer in Christ, you have to continue in the word of Christ. And because of that, you will get to know the truth. Why do you need to know the truth? You see, God doesn't tell us to do something that is not, you know, useful or something that is purposeless. Jesus says we need to know the truth for a reason. Now drop down with me to verse 44. The reason why we need to know the truth is because of the adversary, the devil. You have your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Notice what Jesus said. Whenever the devil speaks, he speaks of his own. Just like when God speaks of his own too. But you see, because God is truth, when God speaks, he speaks the truth. Now the devil has no truth in him. What he has in him is lies. So when he speaks of himself, which is lies. So therefore, as a Christian, every time you hear the voice of the devil, you have to know that that's the lie. And how do you know it is the voice of the devil? Because it does not line up with the word of God, which is the truth. See, the word of God is the truth. When the devil begins to tell you, well, you are sick, well, what saith the scripture? The Bible says, Jesus took my sickness, so how can I be sick? I mean, God cannot lie. If Jesus took the sickness, then I'm not sick. Then how come I feel sick? Well, it's just a feeling. That's the tempter trying to steal my health. I have to resist him by being steadfast in the faith. You see, many of us are lazy as Christians. That's why the devil succeeds against us so much. We don't spend time in the Word. To know the truth is going to cost you a lot, because you are going to have to take away time from what you spend in pleasurable pursuits in this world and devote those time, or that time you have taken away from the pleasures of this world, to studying the Word of God and meditating in it diligently day and night, as God said to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, in order to get to know the truth so that you can walk in victory over the devil, who is a liar and a deceiver. If you don't know the truth, the devil will deceive you, like he deceived Adam and Eve. You have to know the truth and make a choice to abide in that truth. No matter how you feel, don't lean on your human understanding. If you lean on your human understanding, the devil will get you to believe the lie. So, I'm sick. Because I feel sick. No, I'm not sick. I feel sick. Okay. I don't argue with the feeling, but the truth is that the real me is not sick, because the real me is one with Jesus. Jesus is not sick. Bible says, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. We heard it this morning in the Bible study. The new spirit that we have is a brand new one. God took away the whole spirit that was sinful. That stony heart God removed when we invited Jesus into our lives, and he put a new spirit in us, and the new spirit he put in us is one with himself. God is never sick, therefore I am never sick. God is never oppressed, therefore I'm never oppressed, because I'm one with God, with the new spirit. But you see, my soul and my body, because those two other aspects of me are not yet born again, the devil walks through those two aspects to try to get me to believe a lie so that he can then come and devour me one way or another. But if I know the truth, I'm going to stand my ground, as we read in 1 Peter chapter 5, and resist him by being steadfast in the faith. I will fight the good fight of faith, because I know who I am and I know what Jesus has done for me. I'm not the sick trying to be healed. No, I'm the healed. The devil is the one trying to steal my health by making me to feel sick. You see, it's a tempter. It's tempting me in my body because of the weakness of my body. And it's tempting me in my soul because of the weakness of my soul to believe a lie which is not in agreement with the Word of God. So say to your neighbor, you are not sick. You are healed in Christ. The devil is trying to steal your health by putting symptoms on your body. Resist him by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. So the truth is what the Word of God says, and that's what we must hold on to at all times. So the devil is a liar and a deceiver. Now let's go back to John. Now we go to John chapter 10. From verse 10, the thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Now, Jesus came to give us life. And the life he came to give us, if we look at it in the context of John 10, verse 10, is designed to give us victory over what the thief has come to do. See, the devil is a thief. He's the one trying to steal your health. He's the one trying to steal your joy. He's the one trying to steal your peace. He's the one trying to steal the blessings of redemption that Jesus purchased for you on the cross of Calvary. He is the tempter trying to walk his way cunningly into your mind to get you to believe a lie by the pressures that he brings against your body in this physical realm. And then the pressures he brings against our soul in this physical realm. The devil walks through the body and the soul, you see, because he knows those two parts of our being are still awaiting final redemption. It does not have access to our spirit, because the spirit we have now is the born again spirit, one with God. A Christian cannot have the devil dwelling on the inside of them. The person dwelling on the inside of you as a Christian is Jesus by his spirit. And light and darkness don't live together in the same house. So the devil only comes against you from outside. He can't get on the inside of you. He can put pressure on you from the outside. He can put pressure of pain on your body. He can bring pressure against your soul to try to get you to be discouraged and overwhelmed in your mind. But you see, it can't get inside. And that is why you have to know the truth, so that when the devil rears his head up and he brings his lies against your life, you can resist him immediately and say, "Devil, no, 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 no. I refuse to believe that. I'm not going to dwell on that thought. I cast it down in Jesus' name, because I'm not sick. I'm not going to die. I'm going to live my days here on earth in pleasure with length of days and long life. God satisfies me, because it is so written. I will not die. I will live." So you go to the GP says, "Well, you just have 1 month left to live, because we've discovered an incurable sickness in your body." And then you believe him? No, no, no. You better believe the report of the Lord and say, "No, no, no, no. I will not die. I will live. The GP is not my God. It is written that with long life, God satisfies me and shows me his salvation. Therefore, I believe God. I resist the devil. The devil is the one trying to kill me before my time. I'm not going to allow him. No, devil, I refuse to believe your report in Jesus' name." And then the Holy Spirit will rise up in you and give you victory over the devil. That's the way it works. You see, when Jesus in the temptation stood on the word of God, angels came and ministered to him. The problem with us is we don't stand on the word of God, so angels can't minister unto us. We are so full of doubt and fear and double-mindedness. And the angels that God has assigned to us cannot work for us, because we are not abiding in the word. Put your finger right there in John chapter 10 and turn with me to Psalm 103. You see, once we understand how all these things work together, they are basic things, but we need to understand them. When we know the truth, as Jesus said, the truth will make us free. It's as simple as that. The devil is a liar. He has no other way to walk. He has to get me to believe a lie. If I don't believe the lies of the devil cannot do anything against me. It's as simple as that. He can't succeed against me. If Adam and Eve had not believed the devil's lies in the garden, he would not have stolen the garden from them. He came to steal the garden from them. That was the aim of the devil, and he succeeded. He has come to kill, to steal, and to destroy. He has no other mission, and he cannot succeed unless he first of all get me to disobey the word of God, because he is the spirit of disobedience. That's why we need to know the truth and stand in the truth and be steadfast in the truth and resist the devil and refuse to give place to his lies. You see, Psalm 103 verse 20, let us read together. "Bless the Lord, you his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments hearkening unto the voice of his word. Notice the angels of God carry out God's commandments or God's will. And the way they do so is by listening to the voice of his word. And these angels have been assigned to us. They are encamped round about the righteous, Bible says. They want to serve us. That's why God sent them to be with us here on earth. We don't see them, but they are right with us. Everywhere we go, the angel of the Lord are with us. Because God assigned them to us as his people. They are our servants to serve us. But they cannot serve us unless we stand in the word of God and declare it. They have to hear us declaring what God says. That was why they ministered to Jesus in Matthew chapter 4 in the temptation. Because Jesus was saying, it is written, it is written. He was standing on the word of God in the three temptations the devil brought to him. And because of that, the angels ministered unto him. And God is no respecter of persons. The angels of God will minister unto you when you stand on it is written. In every temptation. Say to your neighbor, the angels of God will minister to you when you stand on the it is written, no matter the temptation. Amen. You see, it's the way God works. He is the God of truth. And he always performs his word. The devil is the father of lies. And if you believe his lies, he will perform it in your life too. That's how it goes. So the choice is yours and mine, what we believe. When we know the truth and believe it and act upon it, the devil has no place. It's as simple as that. The shield of faith always quenches the fiery dart of the wicked one. Ephesians 6:16 tells us. Now let's go back to John chapter 10. So if we just remember to behold Jesus as the Lamb of God in every situation of life that we go through, the power of Christ himself, that's the Holy Spirit anointing, will minister liberty to us in those situations. That's the way it works. You have to behold Jesus in every situation of your life. You have to see him rather than beholding the problem, behold Jesus. Because the devil has designed the problem to take your eyes off of Jesus and get you to believe a lie. Jesus is the truth. You behold him in every situation and say, well, I behold Jesus is the Lamb of God. He has taken away the sin of the world. And I have believed on him. Therefore, my sin is taken away. And there is no ground for the curse in my life. Because the curse came because of sin. And now that sin has been taken out of the way for me, there is no place for the curse of the law. Therefore, sickness and disease and oppression and affliction of every kind have no place in my life. I am the redeemed of the Lord, and I say so. And when you do that, the angels of God will minister to you. The Holy Spirit anointing will minister to you. And you'll walk in the victory that Jesus already purchased for you. That's the way it works. We are snared many times by the word of our mouth. And that's why we need to know the truth and declare it in every situation. Don't speak according to how you feel. Don't speak according to how you see the situation. Speak according to what is written. Jesus was hungry. He didn't speak according to how the devil tempted him. Turn the stone into bread. You have the power to do so. Show off your power. You are Christ. No, no, no. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, because that's what is written. Well, all right then. Okay, jump now, because it is written. You see, the devil now is quoting scripture to Jesus, but quoting it out of context. Well, it is written, God shall give his angels charge over you. Then the devil is trying to get him now to prove again that he has the power to do the extraordinary and show off his strength. Why should you deliberately jump? Because God said he will give his angels charge over you. No, Jesus said, it is also written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And then the devil tried the number one trick it tries on many people today, which is to entice with material things. Money, possession, fame, and all the other things that the people of the world pursue every day. And then at the end of the day, they destroy their souls. He tried it on Jesus. Said, well, just bow down and worship me. I'll give you all these things. It's in my power to give to anybody. You see, he stole it from Adam. The devil is a thief. God didn't give the dominion of the heart to the devil. He gave it to Adam. But when Adam disobeyed God and obeyed the devil, he became servant unto the devil. Because Bible says, whosoever you yield yourself servant to obey becomes your master. And that's why the devil said to Jesus, I have the power. They are under my authority now, my dominion. I can give to anybody I like. He stole it from Adam. Thank God that you and I have the eternal treasures of God now. We don't have the corrupt one of this world anymore. We have the eternal treasures. We have the very best of everything. Say to your neighbor, I have the very best of everything. Because my Father owns everything. Amen. So you have to see yourself as possessor of the blessings of God. You see, you are not running after the things that are already corrupted in this world. You already possess eternal blessings in God. You have the very best of everything in Christ Jesus. And God supplies your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We give God all the glory for that. Now, John chapter 10, again, as we begin to round up, it's all about Jesus. So the thief cometh not, verse 10 again, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. You see the key? Jesus said, well, the thief came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I am come to give you life, and life more abundantly. Because I am the good shepherd. And I have come to lay down my life for my sheep. Now you begin to see the reason why John the Baptist introduced Jesus to everybody as the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. In fact, he used the singular word sin to help us understand that he came to deal with the root of sin itself, which the devil corrupted man with, because the devil is a sinner. He has been sinning from the beginning. And for this purpose, Bible says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, the Son of God was manifest that he might destroy the works of the devil. The works of the devil there is the sin that he brought into the garden to corrupt man. Now Jesus said, well, I'm the good shepherd. I came to lay down my life so that in dying and laying down my life, I destroy the root of sin, so that everyone that comes to me, they are free from sin. And because they are free from sin, they are free from the curse. And because they are free from the curse, they are free from every byproduct of sin. And that's the way we walk in liberty and in victory where every work of the enemy is concerned. Not just some of them, all of them. All of them. Jesus laid down his life for us so that we can have his life that overcomes what the devil has come to do. Whether he has come to steal or kill or destroy, we have the life of Jesus to overcome the plans of the devil. This is why we must behold, like John the Baptist said, we must behold. To behold means to look and see and understand clearly. That's what the word means. Behold, it's not just to look. Many of us look, but we don't see. And we still don't understand. We look at it, but we don't understand what it means. But when we really look and keep looking, prayerfully meditating on the word of God, then the revelation comes to us. We now understand, praise God, Jesus has set me free. I am free indeed. Ah, the devil has no authority over me. Jesus is Lord over my life. Actually, I have authority over the devil. You see, when you begin to reflect on the truth, revelation of the truth will come to you, and that will make you free, like Jesus said. In Luke 10:19, Bible tells us that actually we have authority over the devil, not the other way around. If I have authority over the devil, then I have authority over all the works of the devil. Just as Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, I also, in Jesus Christ, who has already made an open show of the devil, have the same authority to destroy the works of the devil in all areas of my life. So when sickness comes, I have authority by considering what Jesus has already done and receiving that revelation of the truth. I have authority to defeat the lies of the devil. I say, devil, no. Sickness is not my portion. Jesus redeemed me from sickness. He redeemed me from the curse of the law. He was made a curse for me. The blessings belong to me now, not the curse. Therefore, sickness, you cannot stay in my body. I resist you in Jesus' name. Someone says, well, I said that, but the sickness is still there. No, it's the symptom you have. You keep resisting him by faith daily, and one day you wake up and you won't find the symptoms anymore. Because the truth is that you are really already healed in Christ. The devil is trying to steal your health by putting symptoms on your body. You fight the good fight of faith and keep declaring the truth every day, and you overcome the devil. You see, just keep declaring the truth. I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. Praise God. Jesus died in order that I might live. He took my sin and my sickness and my pain on the cross. Like the scapegoat in Leviticus chapter 16, he took it far away from me. Therefore, I don't have sickness. No. I reject the symptom because I'm the healed in Jesus' name. And you keep declaring that every day and praising God for your healing. You keep declaring the word of faith and giving thanks to God in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Just keep declaring that. Forget about the symptom. Don't focus on it. Behold Jesus. Don't behold the symptom. Behold Jesus. Don't behold the trouble. Keep looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Behold the Lamb of God that took away the sin of the world. Don't behold anything else. Don't behold anyone else. Don't behold the GP. Thank God for the GP. Praise God. When you go to him and he says, well, I know what to do with your sickness, just give God the glory and say, thank you for giving him wisdom to know what to do. Take the prescription and use it, praying over it and thanking God that, well, he has given the wisdom to man to know what to do with this condition. Praise the Lord. But when the GP says, well, sorry, I can't help you. I don't have any treatment for your sickness. You just have to live with it the rest of your life. Don't believe that. You go back to Jesus and say, praise God, you took this sickness. Therefore, I refuse to believe the report of the GP. I'm not going to allow the sickness to remain in me. You set me free. I'm free indeed. You see, that's how to do it. You cannot accommodate in your life what Jesus delivered you from. You have to know the truth and realize when anything is challenging the truth in your life, that is the devil at work. And so you hold up the shield of faith and resist him by being steadfast in the faith, and you will see the power of God prevail. Now let's go back to John chapter 8. And I want you to get ready to declare to yourself this simple truth as it is written, because you're already free from the curse. Jesus is not just about to set you free. You're already free. You're already free in your spirit. You just need that freedom manifest in your soul and in your body. When the devil tries to rob you of what belongs to you, then you stand your ground in faith and receive the victory that belongs to you in Christ Jesus. Let's read together verse 36. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. One more time. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Once again. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Hallelujah. Where Jesus has done his part, he has already made you free. Galatians 3:13 tells us. Now, it's left to you now to be free indeed. And how do you do that? By the same way that Jesus freed himself from the tempter in the garden, by declaring the word of God. You see? The truth is what makes you free. Jesus said, you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Well, Jesus has already done his part. He laid down his life. He said, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He laid down his life to set you free from sin and the curse. Now you have to then take the truth of what Jesus has done, just like John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb. You have to know that Jesus is the Lamb of God. He has taken away sin and the curse from you. Therefore, you don't have to accommodate those things in your life. Then you take that truth and make yourself free indeed by declaring the truth. It is written, just like Jesus. Oh, sickness, pain in my body, you hear the word of the Lord. Jesus has already made me free from you, because he made me free from the curse. You are under the curse. Pain, you are under the curse. Jesus already made me free from you, and now I claim my freedom indeed by faith in Jesus Christ. And then the power of the Holy Spirit will do the rest. That's the way it works. And the angels of God will minister to you. That's the way it works. It's not you that will do the job in your human strength. Your part is to stand your ground in faith, just like Jesus. All he needed to do in the temptation was to stand in faith. It is written, it is written, it is written. Then the angels did the rest. He didn't even need to eat food anymore. Bible says the angels came, they ministered to him, the hunger disappeared. I tell you, God is still in the business of performing miracles for his people. The angels of God, they excel in strength. What we can do naturally, they will do for us by their own strength. But they need us to stand in the word of God. They only minister according to the word of God. They don't minister according to human words. No, they minister according to the word of God. Because they are God's servants sent to serve us as the children of God. Never speak out of your mouth what the devil is doing. Rather, speak what God says in the word. Be like Jesus, the head of the church. Because as his body, we just have to follow in his footsteps. He just stood on the "it is written" done in his temptation. And that was all that was required to give him the victory. Say to your neighbor, all that is required to give you victory in every situation is the "it is written." Amen. The word of God. Hallelujah. So go ahead and speak to your situation. Everything contrary to you, speak to them to hear the word of God and declare, Jesus set me free from you, and I'm free indeed. In Jesus' name. I'm free from you, pain. I'm free from your sickness. If you know the name of the sickness, call it by name and say to it, Jesus set me free from you, and therefore I am free indeed. In Jesus' name. You call every trouble in your life by name and speak to them and say, well, Jesus set me free from you, and therefore I am free indeed. In Jesus' name. So you say that concerning every area of your life where you need liberty. And after saying it, you begin to thank God. You begin to thank God that his power makes you free. He says it's not by our human power, it's not by our human might, it's by the Spirit of God. Our own part is to stand our ground in faith. When we do our part, God never fails to do his part. The angels of God are there to serve us. The anointing of the Holy Spirit is there to bring liberty to us. Bible says he removes burdens from our shoulders and yokes from our necks, and he destroys them. But he said, for the anointing to work, we need to stand in the truth. For the angels to serve us, they need to find us standing in the truth. Rather than believing the lies of the devil, we believe the word of God. I don't believe the sickness. I don't believe the pain. I don't believe the affliction. I believe the word of God. I don't behold the trouble. I behold the Lamb of God that has already taken away the sin of the world. I behold the Lamb that was slain for me in order that I might be free from the curse. He redeemed me that I might be free indeed. That's why the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So you say so that you are redeemed. I am free indeed. Jesus set me free, and I am free indeed. In the name of Jesus, I am free. By the power of the Holy Spirit, I am free from all affliction. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord God delivers him out of them all. There is no affliction that is permanent in my life. Every one of them is subject to change, because God delivers me out of them all. Therefore, I am free indeed, in Jesus' name. We give you the glory, mighty God, this morning. Thank you for liberty. Liberty for every one of us in this church and for our fellow brethren in the body of Christ everywhere. For we behold Jesus, the Lamb of God, and the sacrifice he made for us to purchase our redemption from sin and the curse of the law, so that we may walk in liberty from every work of the devil. Thank you, Lord, that we are free from the devil's plans to steal, to kill, and to destroy in all areas of our lives, and all the lives of our loved ones, everyone dear to our hearts, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for liberty this morning. Liberty from every plans of the devil. In Jesus' name, we are free, and we are free indeed. Jesus has set us free, and we are free indeed. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for perfect wholeness and well-being. For every member of this church, for Jesus already took our sicknesses and our diseases. Therefore, we declare that no one is sick in this church. We command every symptom of sickness to disappear in Jesus' name. For devil, you are a liar. We know the truth, and we resist you by being steadfast in the faith. Jesus took our sickness on the cross of Calvary. Therefore, we won't bear the sickness in our bodies. We are the healed and not the sick. In the name of Jesus. Every child, every youth, every adult in this church, we are sick. We are healed physically. We are healed emotionally. No place for sickness in our midst. In the name of Jesus. For God has taken sickness from our midst in Christ Jesus our Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord forever. In Jesus' name, just wave your hands to him and thank him. Thank him for your liberty. See, that's the way to do it every day. You wake up in the morning and thank God for what Jesus has done. Just behold the Lamb for that day. That's it. See, John the Baptist said it today. The next day he said the same thing again. So you have to keep saying it every day. Oh, I behold Jesus, the Lamb of God. He has taken away my sin. And he has taken away the curse from me. I'm free from the curse of the law. I'm blessed. Praise God. I'm free from the curse. I'm blessed. This is a day of blessing for me. I'm blessed with life. I'm blessed with health. I'm blessed with prosperity. I'm blessed with favor. I'm blessed with wisdom. I'm blessed with knowledge. I'm blessed with understanding. I know what to do by the wisdom of God. Praise God. It's a day of joy for me. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That is the kingdom of God. I'm a child of the kingdom, and this day is a day of righteousness, peace, and joy for me in the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise God. I have the victory today in all areas of life. For thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, that's how to live daily as Christians. We live by the word of God. We live by the truth. Because the truth makes us free from the lies of the devil. You keep declaring the word, and the angels of God will keep serving you. It's time to get our angels working for us. Many of us have just left them idle because we've not been speaking the word of God. And they have to hear the word of God. We read it in Psalm 103 verse 20. They have to hear the word of God to carry them out for us. But in most cases, we don't speak the word of God. We speak what the devil wants us to say. Oh, I'm sick as a parrot. Oh, I'm dying. Oh, the pain is killing me. Ah, and the more we say those things, the more we give the power to the devil to afflict us. But when we begin to say what the truth is, the angels will serve us. And victory will manifest in our lives. We give God the glory this morning. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.